Welcome to the Rotary Community Heroes of Hope. I'm your host, Judy Zulfikar, and I'm thrilled to be joined by my amazing co-host, Jamie Zinn, District Governor of Rotary District 5330. Together, we will take you on a journey to discover the incredible impact Rotarians have on our community and around the world. Get ready to be inspired by our Rotary Heroes of Hope.
Today, we are welcoming past District Governor Marilyn Sanderson to our podcast. Jamie, what do you have to say about Marilyn?
She is absolutely fantastic and is the expert in all areas related to Rotary.
She definitely is. She's served Rotary for a very long time. But rather than us just chit-chatting about you, Marilyn, can you introduce yourself and tell us a little bit about yourself?
Hello, Marilyn Sanderson, and as already been said, past district governor in 2016-2017. And I moved to District 5330 5 years ago. And what I've found here is tremendous opportunities for me to be involved at the district level as well as at the club level. I'm a lifelong learner, and I love to be challenged to learn new things, and then I love the opportunity to share that information with other people. So that's pretty much me in a nutshell.
Well, that's awesome. And we are very interested in hearing what you have to say today, because what Marilyn is going to share with us today is diversity, equity, and inclusion that Rotary International and Rotary in general has, I don't know, they launched it a couple of years ago. We've always been very inclusive as an organization. But tell us a little bit about this initiative and how we're rolling it out into our clubs at the club level.
Past RI President Jennifer Jones made diversity, equity, and inclusion one of her main initiatives. And the whole reason behind it was to help clubs grow their membership by looking around and seeing who might be included, who that isn't now included, and some methods to do that. So what I'm doing as the DEI Task Force chair is we have a group of people who are willing to develop and share programs with our individual clubs on how to grow membership by doing things a little bit differently. Our focus is to attract new people into our clubs and then make ways for them to share their creativity, to come up with new ideas by showing them that we value them and that they belong in our groups and that they're welcome. We take a look at what vocations are not in clubs currently. We take a look at all factors in the community. Do we reflect the community in our clubs? And then I think some of the barriers that we've found are this. The business world has given diversity, equity, and inclusion a really bad rap. If you say those words in many instances, they're trigger words and they have a negative connotation.
Very politically charged as well.
Absolutely, especially in this day and age. So we have experienced some of that commentary from our clubs. And now what we think the true focus of this initiative is belonging. How do you belong? How do you make members feel that they belong?
So, Marilyn, now that we've identified that some issues that the clubs are bringing up, what are the task force members doing as they go out and speak to the clubs and helping them to overcome them and make this a very positive process for the clubs?
I think it's important, and the team members have emphasized this importance and incorporated it, that we minimize the use of the trigger words diversity, equity, and inclusion, and instead we focus on ways to encourage clubs to examine how they make members feel. Do they feel valued? Do they feel respected? Do they feel that they can suggest new ideas and have those considered? So it's all about value and respect. And that's what we're emphasizing when we talk to the clubs.
So when you are speaking to the clubs, can you give us some examples of some positive results that you've seen from implementing this at the club level and helping them grow their membership?
When I speak to the clubs and when the other team members do, what we find is happening is a softening and a willingness to listen when we stop using the trigger words. In other words, if we emphasize how clubs can respect and value their current members as well as future members, it's sort of like a light bulb goes off. And the discussions that the team members have had with clubs has been very positive. Once we get about halfway through a presentation, and what I like to do and the other team members do is we ask questions during the presentation. How do you feel valued? Why are you still in this club? And the discussion around that encourages them to think in new ways and to take a look at their current membership. Are you doing everything you can to keep your members in by showing that they're respected and valued? So we get a lot of positive feedback about that point in our presentations.
And I bet that as you're going through this, people are sort of stepping back and they have that light bulb look on their face like, wow, I have maybe some biases. I might have some things that I am doing or not doing that are not helping our club move forward or are not making members feel welcome. Do you see that happening as well? So we're getting some positive changes in our existing members?
Exactly on point, Jamie. What people begin to realize is that they're not really facing up to the fact that they fear change and that change will be difficult. And maybe they're a little bit too stuck in the status quo. So if they understand the difficulties and the whys behind the resistance to changing their club and allowing more people in, that's when they begin to open up and be more flexible to new ideas and new people.
So let's talk a little bit about reflecting the community. How are you approaching that particular topic?
Often what we do is do a bit of research on what the makeup of the community is, and particularly from one of the last surveys the government has done about who the population is. So we look at the census data, how many minority groups are there? What are they? What's the percentage of the population? And then looking on the District 5330 website, what's the percentage of women in clubs? What are the age groups in the clubs? And so that gives a pretty accurate picture of the status right now. And if they see that and understand that it's not necessarily reflective of their community, why and what can they do to diversify their membership? Because it's all about bringing in new ideas and creativity. So it's taking a look at where they are now and seeing if that's what it needs to be. And if it isn't, where can they go and what can they do to change that?
The thought may have been, or the perception of Rotary in the past may have been that, you know, it's a very exclusive, only certain type of people are allowed to be in Rotary. And how are we looking at that barrier and working with the clubs with that?
It's sometimes difficult for clubs to take a look at really what they are and who they are. So if they want to increase their membership, they have to take a look at the fact that probably 60 to 70% of their club members are in the oldest quarter, if you will, of the population age-wise, and whether or not they have women, whether or not they have minorities. But we don't really focus on that because that, and when I say we don't focus on it, giving the numbers at the beginning is about as far as I take it. Because what they then do, the club members, is they become a little defensive and say, we're good. We do good things in the world. We donate a lot of money to make those things happen. And we're very involved and we raise funds to make that happen. It's hard for club members to look at the fact that many of them are not maintaining their numbers of members and they are not necessarily looking for ways to do that. So one of the things we encourage in our presentations is take a look at yourself. If you're not satisfied, if you're losing members, then these are some positive steps that you can take.
So just to add on to this, and maybe Judy, you could make a comment to this. Part of what you were talking about was understanding your community. And one of our strategic initiatives for this year is helping clubs do community assessments to look at that. Judy, maybe you could speak to, I know you're helping oversee that particular area, how they can reach out and get a support from the district to be able to identify those areas in this particular case for Maryland.
Absolutely. It may seem a bit daunting to look into the community. It's like, how do you get an understanding of what the makeup of the community is so that we are more reflective of the community? And there, the district is providing several resources to be able to do that. The community services director is working on helping clubs find out that information. The information is actually out there. Cities and counties and municipalities, provide that information. We're using that as one of our resources. And then working with the clubs to help them understand how they can create a greater belonging within their club area using the resources that are available. So it doesn't have to be as daunting as Marilyn was talking about. The change is difficult, almost always necessary, but sometimes daunting to clubs.
Now that, you know, you've been out there, your task force has been out there, are you seeing positive results from this in both a change in our members' perceptions and then growth happening out in the clubs where there has been this particular resistance?
I think the turning point I see in the clubs is the portion where we speak to how much divisiveness there is in the world today and how much separation there is, and people who are emphasizing in politics, religion, whatever, how we're different from each other. And when I point out the fact that Rotary can be a common denominator and bring us together, in fact, Rotary can be the bridge between the gaps and can be counter to what we see going on in the world. I hear a lot of feedback during the club discussions when I'm presenting and when our other members are presenting that, oh, we never thought about it like that. And so I think the first thing that has to happen is an attitudinal change, broadening perspectives, thinking about things in a different way. And I think we'll see growth in the clubs. I haven't looked at numbers specifically since before the beginning of the year. If we retain more members than we have in the past by pointing out how Rotary can be the bridge in the world for crossing the divides, for bringing people back together, I think we will see that growth.
What's been really interesting as I've been out doing my governor visits to the clubs is that I think DEI definitely is having an impact. I'm seeing a different variety of individuals coming into Rotary. And because of that, our clubs are engaging in different types of projects and fundraisers that they have not thought about in prior, you know, years. And so I think that is really fantastic because now we're reaching out there to more people who need our assistance. And we're being able to reach communities that we haven't been able to reach before.
And to that point, Marilyn, what would you say to somebody that is a community member that maybe has had a different perception of Rotary in the past? And what would you say to them with where we are in Rotary now?
What I often see in club members talking to someone in the community is they invite them to one of the club meetings. And my advice to them is start out inviting them to a club activity or club project so they can see what we do. Most young people these days, younger than me, younger than you two, too, is that they're not meeting people. I mean, meeting in quotes, coming to a meeting is boring. If they are out helping with a highway cleanup or a fundraiser or painting a house or Rotarians at work day, they begin to feel that very positive vibe that comes when you're giving something rather than looking and taking something. So I think if new members can be attracted, it's through what we do, not what we say.
Well, and I think as we're attracting these new members, as you say, a lot of them, you know, younger than the group of us here who are chatting, they want to do the projects and they want to do it with their families. And so that's a very important aspect. And we are seeing an increase in that particular area. And clubs are moving towards doing things that are more focused to these younger people's passions and making it a family event. So I think we're seeing a lot of ancillary benefits to really understanding our community and having our clubs be representative of that community.
And I would say that we would invite our listeners, those that are not already Rotarians, to visit our 5330.org, fill out that contact form, and find a place where you would feel welcomed and belonging in our clubs around the district. And as Marilyn suggested, reach out. There's a lot of service projects. It's amazing how many service projects are going on each and every week throughout our district. And I think that in the past, maybe people haven't felt that they had the opportunity to reach out and just, you know, hey, can I join you as a volunteer on your service project? But that is definitely the direction that we're going. And one of the things that we want to invite the general public to take a look at, check us out.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So what final words, Marilyn, might you have to tell our listeners about engaging in this and helping Rotary grow and becoming a Rotarian if you're not a Rotarian?
I think I would say to every club and all of the leadership in these clubs that looking for ways to increase your impact in the community and offer more services, more projects, is the key to attracting Rotarians, keeping members, and attracting new and younger members. If we always do things the way we've always done, this old tired phrase is still so true, then we won't see the results that we need. And younger people, people of diverse backgrounds, people of diverse vocations, bring new ideas and creativity that can spark the life in clubs. And we all need a little spark once in a while from new ideas and new creativity.
That's awesome. Well, Marilyn, thank you so much for joining us today. We really appreciate your time and your energy putting into this effort, and we hope to talk to you again soon.
Thank you for the opportunity, both Judy and Jamie.
Thanks, Marilyn.
So that wraps up this episode of Heroes of Hope. We are so happy that we have an audience out there listening. We want you to subscribe, share, and tell your friends about the Rotary community Heroes of Hope, because that's how we get the word out about the impact we're having in this world.